Hello again, Mike O'Connor. Another Geezer Cast for you. Not bad. It's only been a week or so since I did the last one. I'm pretty proud of this. I don't know how long this is going to last, but Marcy and I took a walk this morning, and we had two great Geezer Cast ideas, so I thought I'd tell you about them before they slip away. Memory is a thing with old folks, you know? You do tend to forget these ideas, so it's always a good idea to get them on the recording when you remember them. Marcy's out pulling more of that stupid wild parsnip, and I mowed a bunch of it, so I got back before she did. Anyway, first idea. Marcy and I both read a piece in the New York Times about something that happened back at the beginning of the Iraq War, but it's sort of a cybersecurity problem, and that is, so you got this cybersecurity warfare, cyber warfare thing, and you decide to attack your enemy. In this case, I guess it was Iraq. And you realize that your attack is going to cause a lot of collateral damage to neighboring countries. Countries that theoretically you don't want to torque off. So the Bush administration sort of did some attacks, but they didn't do them all. It's sort of the summary of the article. And that was quite some time ago. So presumably this problem is more acute now, because I'm pretty convinced that all the governments, all the big ones, have the capability of doing all kinds of really disruptive stuff to the infrastructure of other countries through the internet these days. There's been a big rumpus about that just in general with the arrival of the Obama administration. And it's been going on for quite a while. So you, my unborn grandchildren, if you live in a desert where there aren't any computers and no internet at all, it's because somewhere in between when I'm doing this and when you listen, which may be impossible because there wouldn't be any computers, so hopefully there's at least enough of a computer to listen to a Geezer Cast. Anyway... I sure hope that there hasn't been a cyber war in between that's done so much damage that it's basically set the planet back. And that was sort of where I got to, was that it seems to me that cyber war is kind of like any other weapon of mass destruction, like nuclear war, where it seems like the destination, the logical destination of this, is some sort of equivalent to mutually assured destruction, which was basically the way that the nuclear arms race ended, in stalemate, which is, okay, I have enough nuclear weapons to destroy the planet, and you do too. And as long as that's the case, we're in this sort of state of dynamic tension, and nobody pulls the trigger. Well, it seems to me that we're getting pretty close to that place now with cyber war, and that pretty soon somebody's going to have to sit down and do some pretty serious negotiating, because one of the advantages, in a way, to nuclear weapons is that they're really expensive to build, and they're really... easy to monitor. I mean, you have to have all this stuff. You have to have plants to enrich the uranium, and you gotta have all this high tech to make the bomb, and you know, so it's pretty, at least relatively easy to figure out who's got them and where they are, and it's expensive, you know. Whereas with a good cyber war gizmo, it's really cheap. I mean, you know, that's what we've seen with some of these viruses that have been out, is that it doesn't take much to get a virus going that can really mess things up for folks. So you do wonder whether we aren't headed for a situation where one of these things either gets out on purpose or by accident, and we just sort of accidentally set ourselves right back to the Stone Age. And I sure hope that you, my unborn grandchildren, aren't on the far side of that. So anyway, that was the first observation of the day. And then a completely unrelated one is that there was a story in the Times, I think, today, about the way that contestants on reality TV shows are being treated by the networks and the producers of the shows. Apparently they are under non-disclosure agreements, but those agreements only last for 3 years, and the 3 years is expiring, and so finally some of these stories are coming out. And they're not pretty. It's not a happy thing. Apparently these folks are basically held prisoner. They aren't allowed to communicate with anybody. They aren't allowed to read newspapers or get on the internet. The producers sort of stress them out. They shorten their sleep cycle. They don't give them a lot of food. They give them a lot of alcohol, because what they're trying to induce is weird behavior, because weird behavior makes better TV. Of course, there's parallels to torture, which I'm not going to go into, but it reminded me of a movie back from the last Depression in 1929. This was a movie that was done much later, but it was about 1929. The name of the movie was They Shoot Horses, Don't They? And since I doubt that many of you will watch it, I'll sort of spoil the plot for you. Basically, in the 20s, the late 20s and early 30s, during the Depression, there were these marathon dance contests in which you entered the contest with your partner. You were given a number, and the sole objective of the contest was to see who could dance the longest. And these things would go on for weeks, sometimes months, because what would happen is that the partners would learn how to sleep on each other's shoulders, and so they would basically just stand and dance. And in exchange for this, they were competing for a prize, but there was only one prize. But they got fed and housed, and they got breaks to go to the bathroom and periodically take a shower and stuff like that. But they weren't allowed to break out of this except if they resigned. And it, you know, it's a very sad movie. I can't actually remember how it ended. I just remember that it ended badly and it was very sad. So I won't totally spoil the plot. But, you know, I was sort of thinking about the parallels between then, because that was real. This was just a fictionalized movie about it, but there really were contests like that. And it reminds me a lot of reality TV. It was done, again, purely for entertainment value, although the reporting was by radio rather than by TV. And same sort of thing. It was putting people in a very difficult position, primarily to induce weird behavior and provide entertainment for the masses, sort of 20th century gladiators or bread and circuses or whatever. And it just struck me as awfully similar, this reality TV stuff that people are going through. It seemed really sad to me, because these poor reality TV folks, for the most part, they don't get any money, and I would think it would completely screw up their lives, even if they didn't win. Some people get a little money and some fame, but for the most part, it's just really long odds and really difficult. And I was just sort of made, you know, it made me sad to think about those poor folks. It was sad reading the article today. So if you, my unborn grandchildren are in a situation where that's your only option, I'd try something else. You know, almost anything else sounds better than that. Anyway, history repeats itself. I guess it's history repeats itself department today. Both of these are sort of history repeating themselves. Probably will continue on, but pretty tough deal. To end on a happier note, the farm is fine. I just mowed down a whole bunch of wild parsnip. We had a great time hanging out with some of the folks that I worked at the U with back almost two decades ago now, last night. And so things are fine, despite all that grouchy stuff. Anyway, that's it. Hope you enjoyed it. See you the next time.